There is a very clear link between life and light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, have you ever put a sheet of dark plastic out on your garden and leave it there over a period of time, and all the vegetation underneath it will die because you are blocking out the light? Without light, there is no life.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we bring you the message of the Gospel on Jesus, the Light of the World. Our ministry is on John chapter 1. I'm going to read to you these few verses. In the first chapter, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There, in simple terms, is your need of a Savior, because Jesus is the light that lighteth every man. And until you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are walking in darkness, without hope, blind, stumbling along in the way of life that leads to destruction. And so today I trust that our ministry will point you to the way of salvation, the way of peace with God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have at the close of our program today another excerpt on our studies in the book of Genesis, and we'll be recommending that you download these from our website, so stay tuned as we come to the pulpit ministry of our church now on John chapter 1, Jesus, the Light of the World. Now we're in John chapter 1, and we are making a little progress. We have looked at verse 1, of course, where Jesus is the Creator, where he is the Word, and then on to verse 3, where he is the Creator. We have preached on Jesus as the life. That was our communion Sunday when we got to the truth that the life is in the blood, and it is by faith in the blood that brings the life of the Son of God into your soul. That was a great morning. And we felt the Lord ministering to our hearts and leading us into the glorious truth of the gospel. We come today to this light. We're told here in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now I note, as I look at verse 4, and I want you to see this, this is not a launching pad for the preacher to get away from the topic. This, I think, is the essence of something truly important. There is a very clear link between life and light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, have you ever put a sheet of dark plastic out on your garden and leave it there over a period of time, and all the vegetation underneath it will die? Because you are blocking out the light. Without light, there is no life. And remember that the Lord Jesus is our Creator. Nothing was made without him. He is fully involved in creation. And God said, let there be light. And before there were fish, fields,
trees, animals, or men, God created the light, because there could be no life on this planet without that wonderful natural light that we draw from the sun. And God created the greater light by day and the lesser light by night so that we have light. And it is this link between life and light that is greatly emphasized for us right here. Now, we already read in John 9 the amazing miracle of a man who was born blind from birth. And whatever age he was at, he was a beggar along the side of the streets. He had no other income but what people would give him. He was totally blind and incapable of functioning normally in life. And the Lord Jesus demonstrated that he is the light of the world by spitting on the ground, making clay. You can see him mixing the dust with the spittle and putting it on the man's eyes, telling him to go wash and be clean. And he returned seeing. What a miracle. In the previous chapter, John 8, Jesus had just announced, "I am the light of the world." And he backed it up with that astounding miracle. The report after it was, never has it ever been seen that one born blind should again receive his sight. And I want us to look closely and carefully here today to this fact that Jesus is the light of men. And here we have ourselves in the equation now. He's not just the light of the world. We're not just going to talk about that great ball in the sky that radiates light and heat down here to this world. And we're not just going to talk about a man who made a blind man to see. But we're going to take this text that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, which includes you. And we will see here that it is sovereign light. That's the first major point. Then we will see that it is spiritual light. And then lastly, that it is saving light. So follow me, and let's look at the sovereignty of this light. Jesus is life, and his life is the light of men. Now, I'm calling it sovereign light because it does not apply to angels. And there are two types of angels. There are the good angels that have retained their innocency and their glory. But Jesus is not depicted here as the light to angels. Then there are those angels that are fallen demons or devils, and they are chained in darkness. And the Lord Jesus is not the light of fallen angels. He is not a savior of wicked demons. They do not receive the light that is in the Lord Jesus. Nor do animals. Animals are a part of his creation. He created them with their particular purposes and function, but they do not have souls. How do I know that? Because they were not made in the image of God. They are mortal. They live and die and return to the dust. Jesus is not said here to be the light of animals. Now, it could be argued that because of the sun and the sky, they were created with eyes and capable to see light and things from that natural light. But this text says that he is the light of men. Men. Men do have souls. Men are immortal. They will live beyond the grave. You will not just return to dust and that's the end of you. You have life for all eternity. You are made in God's image. He has breathed something of that life of God into your soul. And you, therefore, need the light that is in the Lord Jesus. And I'm calling it sovereign light because it is light to ruined men. Men who have been darkened by sin and the fall. The next verse you will notice, the light shineth in darkness. What sovereign light? It is intended to bring ruined, hopeless, darkened souls into a right relationship with God that they may one day enjoy His eternal glory. And every one of us, sons of Adam and Eve, are born spiritually blind. We are darkened, and that is seen in so many ways. By creation, we were given a conscience, but that conscience is broken. It's like a broken clock, a clock that ought to tick, tick away at every second. But when the clock is broken and its hands fall, the clock is no longer a help. It keeps us in the dark. And your conscience, which you feel, and it ribs you, and it rasps you, and it torments you at times, but your conscience, though you feel guilt, will never bring you back into the light. We have also lost the ability to be godlike. We reason in a little earthly orbit. We dwell as worms in the muck and the mire of this world. And there is no capability within you or fallen men to return out of that darkness into the light and the glory of God. We are hopelessly lost. And then the law of God, while it is given to reveal the true character of God, and the law is perfect and good, yet that law, when it is applied to eyes that cannot see, it makes no impact. And men continue to love the sin that God condemns in His law. The Ten Commandments, instead of lifting you as a ladder to heaven, they now turn to a ladder that descends down into the pit because the law is broken and it's no longer loved and delighted in. And the broken, darkened soul is not like the psalmist in Psalm 1 who says, I delight in the law of God day and night after the inward man. There is darkness there. I call it sovereign light because it's not only to ruined men, but to rebellious men. We find in the Bible that instead of men rejoicing in the light, that they are hardened against it. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You would say this is good news. And it is good news that Jesus has come to be the Savior of the world and to bring light to souls. But rebellious men don't want the light. We're told in John 3:19 that evil men love darkness and run from the light. There is something in the heart of sinful men. They are so darkened and so hardened by sin that when the light shines upon them, they run as a fugitive, as Adam did, into the trees to hide from his God. Now, if you go on down to chapter 1, verse 10, you will see that even among the most privileged people at that time, that they too rejected the light. And we're told he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Well, we might expect nothing less or better, from pagans who were in darkness. The nations that were without the Bible, the nations that were without the law, the nations that had lost so much. But what about that privileged nation, Judaism? It says in verse 11, he came unto his own land, his own people, his own nation, and his own received him not. And that, of course, leads to the story of the Jews crying out, "Crucify him," calling out for his death and his ruin, rather than rejoicing and accepting in the light of Jesus. These evil men loved darkness rather than light. And that is the sad, darkened state of many souls. In our day, with Protestant Bible preaching, we have the Bible. We have the truth. We have the testimonies of Christians. But we still have the most privileged people who reject the Savior. And maybe right now I'm looking right into the eyes of someone, and you have all these privileges, but you are rejecting the light. And I've called it sovereign light, because it pleases God to give this to those who even sit in darkness. And you'll see in verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And so this now is the call to faith, to believe. Are you a believer today? Have you accepted Jesus, the light of the world? He is sovereign light. Now we're moving to his spiritual light. He's the light of men by giving spiritual light. We have this example of the blind man, and what a great help this is to our understanding of these things. And he was given physical eyes to see things around him, to enjoy the light shining on objects that he could now comprehend with his eyes. But it was still in the physical world. But Jesus is the light of the world spiritually because he came from heaven. He didn't come just to show us and give us a better perspective, like a microscope, of earthly things. Jesus came from heaven to reveal the Father, to reveal glory unto the hearts and the minds of men. And you'll see this in John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So this was the ministry of our Lord, coming into the world as the light of men, to reveal the Father, because the knowledge of God was lost. Do you know God? Do you know who he is? Do you know his perfections? Do you know his grace? And because men were distant from God, cut off from God, Jesus is come to be the light of the world. And it's the knowledge of God that saves our souls. John 17:3, our Lord Jesus prayed that this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And when God saves a soul, he shines his glory into our hearts. It's spiritual light. Turn with me to Acts 7 and verse 1. Here is a reference to Abraham. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, a pagan, dark world, and without the knowledge of God. And what happened was, Acts 7, verse 2, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Abram got a sight of God's glory. And you know, that has to happen in every darkened soul that will be saved. Without something of that knowledge of God in His reality conveyed to your soul, you're lost, blind, hopeless. Therefore, the great need is to know the Father. And Jesus is come as the express image of the Father to reveal the knowledge of the Father. And so I ask you again, do you know God? And the way to know Him is through the Son. He has come to reveal the Father. In 1 John 1:5 it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." And Paul said that we behold that glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we present to you today, for your faith, the Lord Jesus. By looking to Him as the object of your faith, He reveals to you the knowledge of God the Father.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us here on the program today as we bring to you the message of God's Word. John's Gospel, what a thrill to read, to study, to learn of our Savior, mighty in word and deed, mighty in power as the Creator and the Life-Giver. Now we turn to our Bible study notes in the book of Genesis, and there we learn of the power of the Lord in creation. Genesis 3 is one of those foundational chapters in the whole Bible, as indeed the book of Genesis is the seedbed of the Bible. But here in Genesis chapter 3, we learn of sin entering the world, of Satan, how he tempted Eve and brought down man into the gutter of sin. Here in this chapter, Satan is introduced as the cause of a successful temptation wherein Adam disobeyed God. That fall from holiness led to a broken covenant, after which man was doomed to sorrow, toil, and death. The consequences of sin were immediate and universal in the world. The sorrows that befell Adam and Eve due to the curse upon the world were also universal. They apply to the soil, plant life, animal life, and all the offspring of Adam and Eve. What had been very good became very poor. This world that we exist in today is not as God first created it. This world today, which is phenomenal, yet it is scarred. It is a world of judgment. The curse is upon it. The world of the briar and the thorn, whereas Adam and Eve were put into that perfect world. But due to sin, they were driven out, and God placed those cherubims with flaming swords at the very gate of the garden. What happened? Well, sin entered. In Genesis chapter 3, God gives us a history of how His perfectly ordered world went so terribly wrong. Sin came into the world to cause sorrow and death. This is vital knowledge to grasp the message of the Bible and the gospel. You can't preach the good news until you learn this bad news of sin and its evil destroying men and the world. Henry Morris said that the problem of the existence of evil in a world created by a holy, loving God is one that has exercised the minds and hearts of philosophers and theologians through the ages. If God is omnipotent and holy, why does he permit such things? How indeed could evil ever have appeared at all? What we do know is that God allowed this drama where Satan was cast out, where Satan in turn, sought to bring man down and bring ruin to all. And so the Genesis record considered also the clear statements of God in this matter. The world we live in is radically different from the world which God first created, where Adam dwelt in innocence. This is a fallen world, which is under the curse as the consequence of man's disobedience to God. And many people forget that. And they think, of course, that this is the world that is progressing and progressing, where there will be less disease, less evil, less anarchy, less war. But indeed, the Lord Jesus predicted that until the end of times, that these things will continue. There will be tribulation. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be judgments upon this earth. And for that reason, we need the gospel. And for that reason, Christ came into the world to be our Savior. We need a deliverer from the curse of this world. As you think of your own physical frame, just run the tongue around your mouth and see what teeth are missing. Look at those gray hairs that are soon to bring you to your grave. Death stalks. And so we need a Savior, one who can give us life, eternal life. And the Lord Jesus is that Savior. I want to recommend these Bible study notes. They are available on our website. And each week we put out a set of notes for you to study. You can study them personally, as a group, or as a congregation, as we do here at 9:30 Sunday mornings here in our church. We'd love to have you along even for that if you can. Now stay tuned for these closing announcements. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.